This past week, on Tuesday, marked the third anniversary of the death of Nancy's father. Nancy's dad lived over 80 years, and he was the patriarch of Nancy's side of the family here in Prince William County. We have an unusual blessing in that almost all of Nancy's family is right here in eastern Prince William County, all near one another. We have four generations here, and Dad lived a long and blessed life. In my mind, though, at least in my human way of thinking, it seemed like his life was cut a little short. I mean, after all, his father, Nancy's grandfather, lived to be 104. So 80 years seemed a little short, and we certainly miss him. We've missed him over these past 3 years. I'll be 54 here next month, and I guess a correct outlook on life is that whether the Lord gives you 104 years or 54 years, whatever He gives you, we should be thankful for that. And it would be nice if we could all look back on our lives and say, you know, I lived a blessed life. We might not use that word, blessed. We might look back and say, you know, I lived a good life. What does it mean to live a good life? What does it mean to be blessed by God? I think all of us would agree that if we could look back on our lives and say, well, I was blessed because I had my health. Not perfect health, but at least I was healthy enough to enjoy life. Perhaps we'd look back on life and say, you know, I had some wealth. Nobody, hopefully, here wants to be filthy rich, but at least to have enough wealth where we can live comfortably. And I guess another element of living a blessed life might be to have relationships that certainly aren't perfect, but to have relationships, to look back on relationships of life and say, you know, they were relatively free of conflict. I generally was at peace with most people. I enjoyed some relationship. I lived a blessed life. But I hope you're thinking that life is more than just to be blessed. Because we want to look back in our lives and not only say, I was blessed, but we also want to say, I was a blessing. And again, we might not use that language. We might say, I look back at my life and I was used by God to leave the world a better place than when I came, or something to that effect. But what we're talking about really is to be blessed and to be a blessing. Now, you might recognize that language, because as we began this story that continues now for several chapters, but as we began this chapter from chapter 12, the story of Abram, who, of course, we know as Abraham now, but back in the day he was named Abram. And the Lord told Abram when he called him, Abram, go to the land I will show you, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And today, as we turn the page over to Genesis chapter 13, we see the unfolding of this story continuing. 2 weeks ago, Tim introduced us to Abram and began this series of sermons on Father Abraham by highlighting those first three verses of chapter 12 where the Lord said to go and that I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And then last week we saw that Abram was far from perfect. We saw how when he went down into Egypt, when he left that land the Lord was going to give him because of a famine, he went down into Egypt, and as they were approaching Egypt, he got a little nervous and began to, well, he failed to trust the Lord about his own safety. And he said, hey, Sarah, I'm afraid that, you know, these Egyptians, they're going to see you, a beautiful woman, and they might kill me on account of you, so let's just tell them you're my sister. Ooh, big mistake. But the Lord blessed Abram. And now we see in chapter 13, he returns to this special place that he had originally met the Lord, and the Lord had given him this vision and told him that he would be his special people. And we see in chapter 13 now in verse 1 that Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Lot is his nephew, of course. Verse 2, Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. Now let's pause there and think about this for a minute. He had become very wealthy when he was down there in Egypt. He had acquired a lot of livestock. He was blessed. He was wealthy. He had been blessed materially by the Lord. And of course, those days, 3,000 years ago, back in Bible times, the Lord or people measured wealth by your possessions, especially livestock. So if you had goats and sheep and donkeys and camels and so forth, you were blessed. And Abram had all that. And we see he not only had that, but he had servants. And he had, look at this, silver and gold. Abram was loaded. He was very wealthy. He was blessed. Let's read on as we see the story unfold. From the Negev, he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. The Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between me and you, you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, "Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you." So Abram moved his tents and went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he built an altar to the Lord. So, Abram was blessed. And now we'll see in this passage as it unfolds that he was also a blessing. And don't you want to live that kind of life? How can you live that kind of life? Or maybe we should put it this way. How can you be the type of person that will be able to look back on your life and say, "Yes, I was blessed, but I was also a blessing to others"? Well, first of all, we see here that God will bless you. God will bless you when you return to Him and call on Him. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. From the Negev, he went up to the place until he came to Bethel, at this place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. If you have a friend, just one friend that is close enough to you that you know you could call him or her any time of the day or night, then you are blessed. I hope you have a friend like that. I hope you have a brother or sister in Christ right here at Crossroads who you could call on in your time of distress. I got a call early this morning from John Stolness. Left a message. He said, "Hey, Amy's got nursery duty today. We're not going to be there. She broke her ankle this morning." I hope John and Amy have a friend they can call on in this time of need. Can you call on the Lord? Do you have the type of relationship with the Lord Himself, where you know you could call on Him anytime, day or night? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're in relationship with God through Christ, then of course you do. Of course you have that kind of relationship with Him. I mean, we're looking today at a story of our spiritual great-great-great-great-grandfather, Abraham. Abram, as he was known then. We are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. This passage and these stories apply to us as his descendants. But we have a relationship with God that is unique, even as it related to Abram, because, of course, this is before the time of Jesus. But now, looking back, we know that through Christ, we have an intimate, personal relationship with God. We can call on Him anytime. We're His adopted children. We're not only the grandchildren of Abraham and adopted into the covenant family in that way. We're also God's adopted children through Christ. So of course we are blessed in this way. We can call on God Himself anytime. That is a great blessing. You are blessed. Well, God will bless you also, even in the midst of conflict. Even in the midst of conflict. Look at what happened here in this story in verse 7. Quarreling arose. Imagine that. Quarreling arose between Abram's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot. What, God's people quarreling? You're kidding me. Isn't it ironic here that Abram's wealth and Lot's wealth, as measured in all these animals they had and servants, isn't it ironic that blessing from the Lord contributed to conflict? After all, if they each just had a couple of goats or a couple of sheep, not a big deal. But they have a lot of livestock. They have servants. They need water. They need food. The land could not literally support both of them. And we today are so blessed. And even in the midst of our blessing, we will inevitably experience some conflict. And I don't believe the point of this lesson is to learn how to manage our wealth or how to manage conflict in the midst of our wealth. No, I believe the point here is it just simply that we live in a fallen world with limited resources, limited time, limited land, and it's inevitable that we're going to have some conflict. But even in the midst of that conflict, we are blessed. I'm in a journey group, a discipleship group, that meets on Thursday mornings with some other men. And by the way, the group's going well, and we want to expand these groups this coming fall. But right now, we're just sort of experimenting with a couple of groups, and the group I'm in, Van, one of our deacons, is in the group. And when it came time at the end of the meeting to offer prayer requests, he said, you know, he was quoting a friend of his who said, you know, our problems, my prayer requests are all first world problems. In other words, we don't live in the third world. We don't have prayer requests like many people in the world do and say, Lord, please provide a meal for my child tonight. We don't have to deal with that. Our prayer requests are nothing like the vast majority of the world who struggle day by day just to survive. We just recited the Lord's Prayer together. Jesus said to ask our Father daily for daily bread. We just blow by those words and don't even think about it. We have everything we need here in America. But even in the midst of our wealth, we have conflict, and we are blessed even in the midst of this conflict. Isn't it ironic? But I want to move now to, I think, what is the main thrust of this passage. Continuing on from this idea that we are to be blessed and we are to be a blessing. How can we be a blessing to others? God will use you to be a blessing to others. And what a great privilege it is. First of all, you will be a blessing to others when you serve as a peacemaker. When you serve as a peacemaker, you are being a blessing to others. Look at verse 8. Look what Abram did. Faced with this disagreement, this quarreling, this problem that had to be resolved. What did he say? He said to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between me and you, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, wait a second here. This was the land that God Himself had promised to Abram and his offspring. Lot is not among his offspring. Lot is Abram's nephew. Now, they were close. You see in verse 8, he even referred to him as his brother. I guess it's natural they'd be close. After all, Lot was an orphan. Abram's brother, Lot's father, died. He was an orphan. And Abram was, at this point, still without children. So you might imagine that a childless uncle and a nephew with no parents, they might, you know, become close. And obviously they were traveling together. Lot was literally part of Abram's household at this point. They were going from place to place together. They went down to Egypt together. They came back up out of Egypt together. But here they are standing at this, you could call it sacred ground. It was the promised land. That's why they call the land of Canaan the promised land, because the Lord promised it to Abram and his offspring. And here they're having this problem that can't support both of them. So what does Abram do? I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have said, Lot, it's been real. But we have a problem. It's obvious that the Lord has blessed us to the point where our flocks are to the point where the land just can't support both of us. And this, as you know, Lot, we are standing here on this ground. This is the promised land that the Lord promised to me and my descendants. You're going to have to go somewhere else. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. Abram doesn't do that. He says, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, if this was a movie or a TV show, at this point, you should be yelling at the screen. Don't do it! Abram, you're going to mess up the whole thing. This is God's plan. He told you and your offspring, this is yours. And now you're just sort of casually saying, huh, whatever you want. Huh? You go one way, you know, I'll just take whatever's kind of left over. No, no, no. But you see, Abram was serving as a peacemaker. And we also can be a great blessing when we serve as peacemakers, not peace fakers. Abram, he didn't just sort of hope this would go away. He didn't pretend that this was not a problem. He looked at the situation. He said, obviously, there's quarreling going on here. We need a long-term solution. This is not just going to go away. We've got to make peace. And you also will be a great blessing when you help others make peace. But look what also he did here. And we also can be a blessing to others when we give up our rights and put others first. That's really what he's doing here. Abram had every right to tell Lot, I'm sorry, you're going to have to leave. He didn't do that. He put his nephew first. This is amazing. Now, I'll tell you, in studying this passage, Bible scholars are of a couple different opinions here. Some very learned people think that Abram was not living in accordance with God's will here. They look at what he did in chapter 12. Sarah, let's just tell him you're my sister. They look ahead in the story where Abram made some other mistakes. And they say, okay, here he is in chapter 13. He's just once again messing up. And he is about to mess up God's plan. Of course, God won't let him do it. But that's how messed up Abram was to do this. Others say, no, he was acting in faith. He was putting Lot first. I agree with him. And in fact, I don't think we have to make a judgment. I don't think we have to put a label on Abram. We don't have to say, you know, Abram was foolish. We don't have to say, you know, it just looks like Abram here, he's a couple fries short of a happy meal. You know, a normal person would not do this. We don't have to do that. We can just say, look, this is what he did. He was doing what he thought was right. He was trying to resolve the problem. He was trying to be a blessing. After all, this was his call. This was what the Lord told him. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That's what he's doing. He's living out his calling. He's blessed. He's been blessed with great wealth. And now he is being a blessing. He's saying, Lot, it's up to you. You choose. Now, we know what Lot chose. Lot looked out and saw this beautiful plain that was well-watered, crucial in that part of the world, in that culture, to have water that would water the crops and herds and everything. And Lot chose for himself the best land. I wonder how Abram felt as Lot took off. As Abram stood there in his dust bowl, promised land, yes, but not exactly paradise at this point. And he saw Lot looking out at that beautiful, lush plain, the Jordan Valley. And as he walked away with all his herds and servants and stuff, Abram probably just felt a little bit of loss, maybe a little lost in his sort of a gut feeling like, oh, I'm missing out here on something. But hey, Abram was staying right where the Lord wanted him to be. And he was being a blessing to Lot and others. So was Abram naive? Maybe. Or maybe we could just call this childlike faith. He was trusting the Lord. Lord, I'm leaving this up to my nephew. Whatever he wants, he gets. Take it. What about you? Are you willing to trust the Lord to the point of just even sometimes giving up your rights and putting others first? Men, you know the Bible is clear that you are the heads of your households. That is true. If you think that means you always get your way, you're wrong. That's not what leadership is. Sometimes, as leaders of your households, it is entirely appropriate for you to say, okay, honey, I see it your way. We'll go your way. Sometimes. Ladies, if you have children, how often do you find yourself saying, do you hear yourself saying to your kids, because I said so? I heard that a lot of times growing up. It's natural. I probably said it a lot of times. Because I said so. Well, sometimes that's the right answer, but not always. Sometimes the Lord might prompt you to give up your rights, to give up your rightful place, and to say, okay, we'll go your way. Kids, I know there's a hierarchy among you. And especially if you're in public school, the hierarchy is determined pretty much by what grade you're in. I hate to burst your bubble, but there is really not a big difference between a fifth grader and a fourth grader. Even though as a fifth grader you think you're the queen, you're the king, because you're in fifth grade and this other person's in fourth grade. It's not a big deal. Sometimes it's appropriate for you to say, okay, like Abram did, it's up to you, your choice. We'll go your way. Sometimes. I remember, I think I mentioned this years ago, I was playing in a charity golf tournament for the local Good News and Jail and Prison Ministry. And I was paired up with a couple of the prison guards. And I had recalled that years ago, when I was in college, I was on the boxing team, and we actually went into the prison. Our team went into the prison and boxed with the inmates. And before we went in, the president of our club said, and he had been there previously and met with the folks, and he said, you're going to be surprised that these guys are the nicest men you'll ever meet. And we all said, yeah, right, they're prisoners. This was Menard State Penitentiary. These were hardcore criminals, many in for life sentences. And we're going to go in there with our boxing team. So we went there, and he was right. Of course, they beat us up, but, I mean, after that, we interacted with them a little bit, and they were so nice. And I was really struck by this. I never forgot it. So then 25 years later, I'm in this golf tournament playing golf with these prison guards. And I said, hey, you know, years ago, I went into the prison. I did this. And I just found these guys to be so friendly and so nice. And one of the guards said, yeah, they're real friendly until you say no, until they don't get their way. And I thought, ooh, that sounds like me. That sounds like some other people I know. Does that sound like you? As long as you get your way, everything's good. Well, Abram was willing to give up his rights, to really submit himself to his nephew and say, Lot, it's your choice. And I think God was glorified when he did that. He was being a blessing to Lot and to many others. So you will be a blessing when you serve as a peacemaker. You'll be a blessing when you give up your rights and put others first. You will also be a blessing when you give generously. I appreciated Greg's prayer before we collected the offering, reminding us that the Bible says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And here we see Abram literally giving up land that he could have claimed for himself. He was giving generously. He was being a blessing. I'm going to come out of the closet and tell you that sometimes I watch television. Actually, not very often. But I do record two shows, Undercover Boss and Secret Millionaire. I don't even know if they're still on, but I've got like 10 of these waiting for me to watch, and I really enjoy it. Secret Millionaire, have you seen this? It's a show where someone who's literally a millionaire, a very, very wealthy person, usually an entrepreneur or a CEO, someone really high ranking in a particular corporation, or someone who has his or her own business, and they have a lot of money. They're millionaires. They go into a very poor neighborhood in usually a major city in the U.S., and they're undercover. They're secret millionaires. So the producers of the show set them up with a place to stay, usually not a very nice place to stay. It seems kind of unsafe. They give them an old beat-up car, so they kind of look the part of just a regular person, and they film this person going to different nonprofit organizations to serve as a volunteer. And they tell the people that we're making this film about volunteerism, or we're making this film about what it's like to serve here or there, whatever. They make up some story. So here this millionaire, you know, gets in old regular clothes and drives his beat-up car and goes and serves in a nonprofit organization and helps out. And the stories are great. They always are so humbled, and they find that there's people really struggling and helping out and volunteering to improve their community and volunteering to be a blessing to others around them. And then at the end of the show, the secret millionaire says, "It's been great. I've really enjoyed my few days volunteering with you. But I must tell you, I've not been completely honest with you." And they all kind of look at him. And he says, he or she usually says, "Actually, I'm a millionaire. And I am so impressed with what you're doing here. I want to make a donation to your organization." So he says, "And it's my pleasure, my privilege to present this check to you for $20,000 or $50,000. And the people, they just can't believe it. And it brings a lump to my throat every time I see it. I know what's going to happen. But it just gets to me. It's just amazing to me that these people are willing to be such a blessing to others. And the impact it has is incredible, incalculable. And sometimes, you know, it's not the money. It's just such an encouragement to these folks that someone's noticed them and they're supporting their efforts. Now, maybe you can't write a check for $50,000 or $20,000. But you can give someone $20, someone who doesn't deserve it, someone who just needs to be encouraged, someone who needs to be blessed by someone like you who actually has 20 bucks to spare. You can do that. You can be a blessing in that way. That's what we're here for. We're here not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing to those around us. I want to borrow an idea from a friend of mine, Pastor Brian Smilda. He is serving at Emmanuel Reformed Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's a classmate of mine in the Doctor of Ministry program. Years ago, Brian started something called the $20 Challenge. And I think his church has done this every week for many, many weeks, and we don't want to do this every week. But today, I want to do what Brian has done for many years and issue the $20 Challenge. Here's the challenge. I have a $20 bill. I want to give this to someone here, and the challenge is that you're going to go out this week and be a blessing to someone. You're going to take this $20, or if others want to contribute more during the fellowship time, that'll be fine, but at least $20, you're going to take this $20 and give it to someone or buy something for someone who doesn't deserve it, someone you don't even know, someone outside the church, but you're going to be a blessing. Because I've got news for you, folks. There are people around us who have never, ever received anything of much value. There are people you pass by every day. The guy who sweeps the floors where you work. His boss doesn't even know his name. If you were to give him a gift card for 20 bucks, 50 bucks, and say, "Hey, I just appreciate all you do here. Here." He'd flip out. Nothing like that has ever happened to him, ever. He's working two jobs. He's got three kids. He's trying to learn English. No one's ever blessed him in that way. You can be a great blessing in that way. And you don't have to use this $20. You can do whatever you want. But I really want to ask you, someone here, to do this with this one stipulation. Next Sunday, you will have your 1 minute of fame because your name will be in the bulletin. It will say, testimony of God's blessing in your name. And you're going to come up front, and just for 1 minute, you're going to tell us what happened. How this was a blessing to others. Okay, who wants it? $20. All right, Fiona, you got it. The $20 blessing, the $20 challenge, goes to Fiona. Now, remember, it can't be someone you know. Got to find someone who needs a blessing. And we will all be blessed by her testimony next week. The Lord will bless you, and you will be a blessing. But here's the amazing thing. He will bless you, but not because of anything you've done, or not because who you are. He will bless you despite who you are. Remember, Abram was not perfect. Remember what he did. We saw this just in the previous chapter. Hey, Sarah, tell him you're my sister. How could he do that? He was just a regular guy. Just like me, just like you. So, you will be blessed not because of anything you've done, not because you deserve it, and you will be a blessing to others, not because of some inherent great quality within yourself, but just because you're willing to be used of the Lord to bless others. That's what life is all about, to be a blessing to others and bring glory to God in the process. Abram was a blessing to others when he served as a peacemaker, when he gave up his rights and submitted himself to his nephew, when he was giving generously. And remember, just like us, he was just a regular guy willing to be used by the Lord. I want to ask us now to prepare our hearts as we come to this table, the Lord's table, and consider perhaps the ultimate example of someone who humbled himself, who put others first. Jesus. Jesus, who made it possible for us to be in a personal relationship with God, his Father, and to be blessed, and therefore to be a blessing to others. So if you're helping serve the meal, I'd ask you to come forward now, and we'll put the table front and center and turn our hearts toward this wonderful sacrament the Lord has given us.